Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we are going to be taking a look at bartering and how it works in the modern world with The Bartering Bible by Paul LaFlamme.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You know, when most people think of bartering, they think of trading baseball cards as a kid or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about online bartering networks, cryptocurrency, and how it all ties in together.
Yeah.
Even some psychological tactics that you can use to really make sure you're getting a great deal.
Yeah, what's so fascinating to me is how bartering is kind of seen as this relic of the past. You know, like, oh, that's what people did, you know, 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's more relevant than ever, especially as people are becoming disillusioned with traditional monetary systems.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And online platforms make it so easy to connect with people all over the world that you can barter with.
Yeah, so let's actually rewind the clock a little bit and talk about how ancient IS bartering.
It predates money entirely.
Ooh.
Like, think ancient civilizations trading livestock for grain or handcrafted tools for furs.
I see.
Actually, it even pops up in the Bible, Genesis 23.
Oh, wow.
Abraham barters with the Hittites to acquire a burial site for his wife, Sarah.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a practice that's endured for millennia, clearly.
Right.
But what exactly IS bartering in today's world? Is it just a straight swap, or is it a little more nuanced than that?
Well, at its core, it's the exchange of goods or services without relying on money.
Okay.
But the real magic of it is understanding the perceived value of what each person is bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And finding a mutually beneficial exchange. Yeah.
So LaFlamme actually lays out what he calls the Ten Commandments of bartering. Which are sort of the golden rules for success when trading.
Right.
And some of these have serious psychological hooks that could change how you approach any negotiation, not just bartering.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. So like the first commandment is thou shalt do thy homework.
Okay.
And it's all about understanding the real value of what you're offering.
Okay.
Because it's not always obvious.
Yeah.
Like a vintage record might be priceless to one person.
Yeah.
Just an old record to another.
Like that saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Exactly.
Well, how do we figure out that perceived value? Any tips from the book?
Do your research.
Okay.
Look at similar items online or services online. Talk to experts. Even consider the emotional value attached to an item.
Okay.
The more information you gather, the better equipped you'll be to negotiate.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Another commandment that really stood out to me was thou shalt respect the other party's value. So this goes beyond, you know, winning a barter.
Totally.
It's about understanding what they want.
Exactly.
Right. It's about empathy.
Yeah, successful bartering isn't about one person coming out on top.
Okay.
It's about finding a solution that feels good to both people.
Right.
Where everybody feels like they've gained something.
So it sounds like the Bartering Bible isn't just about tactics and making the deal.
Really.
It's about building those relationships.
It is. And, you know, that actually ties beautifully into the commandment, thou shalt seek win-win solutions.
Right.
Which is all about making sure that everyone benefits.
Yeah.
It's not just about the money or the stuff you know. It's about building these long-term relationships.
Right.
Because, you know, when both parties feel valued.
Yeah.
That's when the real magic of bartering happens.
I like that.
Yeah.
So we've covered a lot of the history, the principles of bartering.
Right.
But now I want to get to the really juicy stuff.
Okay.
The book goes into some pretty serious psychological tactics that can help you seal the deal.
Right.
And I, for one, am all ears.
Yeah.
What are some of these insider secrets?
Okay. So one fascinating principle is reciprocity.
Okay.
It's like we as humans are hardwired to want to return favors.
Oh, yeah. I've heard.
Even small ones.
Yeah.
And just a genuine gesture of goodwill in a negotiation can go a really long way.
It's like you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Exactly.
So how do we use these tactics ethically? Because I could see how we could slip into being a little bit manipulative.
Total.
If you're not careful.
Yeah.
How do we avoid that?
I think honesty is key.
Okay.
You're not trying to fabricate anything. You're simply highlighting what's already there.
Okay.
Like if you have a handmade item, you're emphasizing the time, the skill, the unique materials that went into it.
So you're emphasizing the inherent value of the item.
Exactly.
Rather than trying to create some fake urgency or scarcity.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so what about anchoring? I always feel like anchoring is this intimidating tactic.
Yeah.
Like how does that work?
So anchoring is all about setting the tone with your first offer.
Okay.
That initial number, even if it's a little high,
Yeah.
sets a reference point.
I see.
And the book is a great example, anchoring the price of a car at a dealership.
Oh, yeah.
That first number, even if it's a little bit high,
right,
it influences the entire conversation.
I see.
Yeah.
So in bartering, should we always make the first offer?
I mean,
even if we're unsure about the value of the exchange?
It can be really advantageous to do that.
Okay.
But you have to have done your homework.
Right.
You have to be confident in what you're presenting.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to start the negotiation.
Yeah.
But be prepared to back up your offer and engage in a back and forth.
Oh, it's not just about throwing out a number.
Exactly.
It's about strategically setting the stage.
Right.
For a fair and balanced negotiation.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see how all these psychological elements come into play.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, exchanging stuff. It's about understanding human behavior.
Exactly. And that's what makes the Bartering Bible so fascinating.
Right.
Because it's not just practical strategies. It's
yeah.
real psychological insight.
So with all this talk about tactics and psychology.
Right.
Let's talk about ethics.
Uh-huh.
Because bartering isn't just a game.
Yeah.
It involves real people and real relationships.
Absolutely. And the book actually dedicates an entire chapter to this.
Okay.
You know, while psychology can be a really powerful tool,
right,
it has to be used responsibly.
Of course.
At its core, bartering should be fair.
Yeah.
And it should be mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
You don't want to be exploiting anyone or using manipulative tactics.
Right.
It goes against the entire spirit of the practice.
So how do we navigate those situations where, you know, someone is desperate for what you have, but they can't offer anything of equal value in return?
Right.
What does the book say about that?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
There's no easy answer.
Right.
It really forces you to look inward and think about your own values and priorities. Like,
yeah.
Do you walk away?
Yeah.
Even if it feels kind of heartless.
Right.
Or do you find a way to help?
Yeah.
Even if you know you might not be getting as much in return as you're giving.
So it's not just about making deals.
Totally.
It's about making choices.
It is.
That align with those personal values.
Yeah.
What about confidentiality?
Oh, that's another good one.
Is that in the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when bartering for things like coaching or consulting, where you're dealing with sensitive information, maintaining trust and privacy is paramount.
So while bartering has this really long, fascinating history,
right,
it's clearly not stuck in the past.
No, it's not.
The book paints this really exciting picture of the modern bartering landscape.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that technology is fueling this resurgence of bartering?
I mean, the internet has been huge.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, it's connecting people globally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these online platforms are making it so much easier to find trading partners and explore possibilities that you just wouldn't have even thought of before.
You mentioned that the book goes into detail about some specific platforms.
It does.
Okay, so let's get into it. What are some of those platforms?
Oh, so for local exchanges, Craigslist has a whole section for bartering.
Really?
It's a great way to connect with people in your area.
I mean, I've used Craigslist for years to find, you know, everything from furniture to, you know, who knows what.
Right.
But I never even thought to look at the bartering section.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then there's websites like BarterQuest and UExchange,
okay,
which are solely focused on bartering.
Okay.
And they have online marketplaces. They have messaging systems.
Cool.
They even have rating systems so you know who you're dealing with.
That's really cool. So there's something for everyone.
Yes.
Whether you're just looking for, you know, a local swap or something a bit more global.
Right.
It sounds like there's a whole online bartering community out there.
There is.
Waiting to be explored.
They're really exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about this exciting world of online bartering.
Yeah.
But there's one practical matter we haven't addressed yet.
Okay.
The elephant in the room.
The wallet.
Boy, Tassus.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So let's get down to the nitty gritty here.
Okay.
What does the book say about navigating the tax implications of bartering?
So the book is very clear. Bartering is considered taxable income.
Okay.
So the IRS views the goods or services that you trade as income.
Okay.
So the taxable amount is based on the fair market value of what you provide.
That makes sense. Are there any exceptions to this rule?
Yes.
Okay.
Like if you are swapping books with a friend or trading clothes with a family member, that's usually tax exempt.
Okay.
But when bartering becomes part of your business or professional activity,
Right.
that's when things get a little bit more complex.
Okay, so like if I'm a freelance writer and
Yeah.
I trade my writing services for a new laptop,
Right.
that's considered taxable income.
Exactly. You would have to report the fair market value of that laptop
I see.
as income.
So it's important to remember
Yes.
that even though bartering can feel informal,
Totally.
it is a legitimate economic exchange
Yeah.
and it's subject to those same tax laws.
Exactly. And the Bartering Bible really stresses the importance of record keeping.
Okay.
Keep track of your barter agreements, invoices, receipts,
Huh?
anything that shows the fair market value
Got it.
of that exchange.
So bartering in the modern world requires a shift in mindset.
A little bit.
It's not just about finding deals, it's
Yeah.
about approaching these exchanges
Totally.
professionally and transparently,
Absolutely.
with a keen awareness of the legalities involved.
I think that's what makes the Bartering Bible so valuable.
Okay.
It's comprehensive, it's practical, and it's ethical.
So we've covered a lot of ground in part one of this deep dive.
We have.
You know, we've talked about the foundations, the psychology, the ethics, the modern landscape, even the tax implications. But our journey into the Bartering Bible doesn't end here.
It doesn't.
What can we look forward to in part two?
We're going to get into some really fascinating case studies.
Okay.
Paula Flam shared all kinds of real-world examples
Roll.
that show how people are using bartering in really creative ways today.
I'm looking forward to hearing those stories.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Until then, welcome back to our deep dive into the Bartering Bible.
Part two.
Yes, part two. Last time we really laid the groundwork. We talked about the history and the principles and the psychology behind successful bartering.
Right.
Now it's time to see how those concepts play out in the real world.
Yes.
Are you ready for some inspiring bartering stories?
I am.
Okay, so the Bartering Bible is packed with case studies
Oh, yeah.
that bring these principles to life.
Absolutely.
And they show all the different ways people are using bartering to reach their goals and even overcome challenges.
And build stronger communities, too.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So let's dive right in. What kind of bartering scenarios does the book talk about?
Okay, so one that really stood out to me
Yeah.
is the story of Alex.
Okay.
He's a freelance graphic designer who desperately needed a website, like a good
A
website.
website overhaul.
Yes, an overhaul, but he didn't have the money to hire a web developer.
Oof. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Freelancing, sometimes you have, you know, multiple projects and tight deadlines
Totally.
and trying to keep the lights on at the same time.
It's tough.
So what did Alex do? Did he barter his design skills?
He did.
Okay.
He found Maria,
Okay.
who's a web developer, who just so happened to be looking for help with our business branding.
Wow. Talk about a match made in heaven.
It was perfect.
It's amazing how bartering can create these serendipitous connections, like
Yeah.
bringing people together who have these complementary skills
That's so cool.
and needs. So how do they actually structure the exchange?
So they agreed that Alex would design like a full branding package
Okay.
for Maria's business, and in return, Maria would build him a brand new website.
A classic skills for skills exchange.
I love it.
But even with a perfect match on paper,
Yeah.
I imagine that negotiating the details could get a little tricky.
Right.
Did they run into any challenges?
Actually, no. They
Right.
were really upfront about their expectations,
Okay.
and they outlined like the scope of work, the deliverables, the deadlines.
I see.
You know, they treated it like a professional contract, which I think really helped ensure a smooth collaboration.
That's such a crucial point.
Yeah.
Even though bartering can be informal,
Right.
approaching it with that professional mindset
Totally.
can really prevent misunderstandings
Absolutely.
and make sure that both parties feel valued and respected.
Yeah.
So, what was the final outcome of their bartering agreement?
Success.
Right.
Alex got his professionally designed website
Great.
that showed off all his work beautifully.
Awesome.
And Maria had a stunning new brand identity
Great.
that really elevated her business.
I love it.
And the best part, they did it all without spending any money.
That is the best part.
It's amazing.
It really is. So what's the key takeaway here for our listeners?
I think the key takeaway is that bartering skills for services can be incredibly effective.
Okay.
It's about recognizing the value that you bring to the table
Right.
and finding someone whose needs align with your skill set.
I like that.
But clear communication is so important.
It always is.
It is.
You know, being upfront about what you're offering and what you expect in return.
Exactly.
It sounds like those same principles of good communication that apply in any business relationship are crucial in bartering as well.
For sure.
Okay, so what other inspiring stories does the Bartering Bible tell?
Oh, there's this great one about Sarah.
Okay.
She's an artisan cheesemaker in France.
Okay.
And she had this dream of expanding her business to the U.S. market.
Oh, cheese.
Yeah.
You had me at artisan cheese.
But shipping cheese across the Atlantic. And then, you know, the distribution, the marketing in a whole new country.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
It would be a logistical nightmare.
It would.
But Sarah was not ready to give up on her dream.
No, she wasn't.
So she turned to bartering.
She did.
Okay. How did she barter her way into the U.S. market?
So she found Mark. He's a gourmet chocolatier in the U.S.
Okay.
Who was looking to expand his offerings to include, you know, high-quality French products.
I sense a beautiful bartering synergy here.
It was perfect.
They both have something unique to offer.
Yeah.
And that shared desire to, you know, broaden their reach.
Exactly.
So what did their exchange look like?
So Sarah sent a variety of her cheeses to Mark's store in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And in return, Mark used his existing network to help Sarah connect with a French distributor.
That she had been trying to work with.
Yes. She had been trying to partner with this distributor for so long.
Wow. That's amazing. It's like they each had this key that unlocked the door for the other person.
Yeah. I love that.
They helped each other overcome these logistical and financial hurdles just by, you know, pooling their resources and their connections.
It's amazing what you can accomplish with bartering.
Did their plan work?
It did.
Yay!
Mark's customers loved the cheese.
Okay.
Which gave Sarah's brand really valuable exposure in a new market.
Right.
And Sarah got to partner with that French distributor.
Awesome.
Thanks to Mark's intro.
Great. So she expanded her reach in Europe, too.
It was a win-win.
Double win. Mm-hmm. So what's the takeaway here?
Bartering across borders, while it can be tricky.
Yeah.
It can be a fantastic strategy for businesses.
Okay.
Especially those looking to, you know, break into new markets.
Right.
The key is to look for partnerships that offer those mutual benefits. Got and, like, always be super clear about the logistics, the costs, the expectations.
Communication. Communication.
Communication. It's so weird.
So bartering is not just about exchanging goods and services.
Right.
It's about building bridges, fostering collaboration.
Absolutely.
Creating opportunities that benefit everyone involved.
I love that.
These stories are so inspiring.
I know.
But I know not every bartering story has a happy ending.
That's true.
So let's talk about the times when things don't go quite as smoothly.
Okay.
What are some of the common bartering pitfalls that the book talks about?
Okay, so one of the most common pitfalls is a lack of clear communication.
Okay.
The book talks about this tradesperson who agreed to repair a car in exchange for home repairs.
Makes sense.
But they didn't get specific about which repairs.
So
there were all these misunderstandings, and ultimately the deal just fell apart.
Gosh, it sounds like that saying, the devil's in the details.
Exactly.
It applies to bartering as well.
It does.
So how can we avoid this pitfall?
Be specific
about
what's being exchanged,
right?
Both in terms of the goods or services and the expected outcome. Outline everything.
Mm.
The scope of work, the time commitment, any limitations, any specific requirements.
So having that written agreement can really help.
So much.
Yeah, it ensures that everybody is on the same page and protected in case there are any disagreements.
Right.
What other pitfalls should we be aware of?
Another one is underestimating the time and resources required to actually fulfill your end of the bargain.
Okay.
So the book shares a story about this chef.
Okay.
Who agreed to cater a photographer's event in exchange for a photo shoot.
Okay.
But the event was way bigger than the chef expected.
Oh, no.
It was.
Sounds exhausting.
It was. And, you know, it resulted in a lot of unpaid labor and resentment.
Yeah.
Not good.
So it's important to accurately assess the scope of a project.
Yes.
Before agreeing to any barter exchange.
Exactly.
What's the takeaway here?
When bartering services, you know, really carefully assess the project.
Uh-huh.
Think about the scale, the time, the resources. Make sure that both parties are clear on the effort involved.
Okay.
And be prepared to adjust the agreement.
Okay.
If you need to, you know, to keep things fair.
Right, because bartering, while mutually beneficial,
yes,
shouldn't exploit anyone's time or skill.
Exactly.
It's about finding that balance that creates value for everyone.
Yes.
Now, I know that the Bartering Bible goes beyond just case studies.
It does.
And it shares some anecdotes from Paul LaFlamme's own life.
Yeah.
And from the lives of his friends as well.
He's got some great stories.
So tell me about these seasoned barterers.
Okay, so one of LaFlamme's friends is known as the King of Bartering.
Whoa, the King of Bartering.
Yo.
That's a title.
It is.
It is.
And he's known for bartering for everything.
Everything.
Everything, like dental work to vacations.
Dental work. That's impressive.
I know, right?
What's his secret?
Art. He's an art enthusiast.
Okay.
And he's really good at bartering pieces from his collection.
Yeah.
For a whole range of goods and services.
I see.
He's actually bartered over $1 million worth of value.
$1 million. Through bartering.
I know. It's amazing.
That's incredible.
It really challenges how we think about wealth and value.
It does.
You know, in a world where everyone is obsessed with buying and spending.
Right.
Bartering reminds us that true wealth is about what we have to offer.
Yes.
Not just what's in our bank account.
I love that message, especially in a time when so many people are feeling the pressures of this, you know, consumption-driven society.
Absolutely.
So what other gems of bartering wisdom does the book offer through these personal stories?
Okay, there's this other story about two brothers who started an IT company in a new city.
Okay.
But they had a really tight budget.
Right, starting a business is tough.
It is.
Especially in a new market.
Totally.
And marketing can be so expensive.
It is.
So how did they use bartering to help them succeed?
So they knew they needed to make a big splash. So they decided to throw a grand opening party.
At their office.
Yeah.
Bold.
It was. So they reached out to local businesses.
Okay.
And offered them exposure at the event.
Okay.
In exchange for providing things like food and drinks and decorations.
I know, right? Instead of spending money they didn't have.
Yeah.
They used the event as a bartering asset.
Exactly.
They offered something equally valuable.
Uh-huh.
You know, exposure to a targeted audience.
Yes.
So what was the outcome?
The event was a huge success.
Awesome.
Their office was transformed into this bustling marketplace.
Cool.
They attracted all these potential clients.
Great.
And they even formed partnerships that benefited their business long after the event was over.
So it shows that bartering can be so much more than just a way to save money.
It is.
It can be this powerful tool for building relationships.
Absolutely.
And for creating opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting the bartering bug myself now.
I know, it's contagious.
It is. But the Bartering Bible offers a lot of resources.
It does.
To support you on your bartering journey.
Yes.
So what kind of resources does it have?
So it has sample barter agreements.
Okay.
It has lists of helpful websites and organizations.
Oh.
And it even gives tips for finding other people who are interested in bartering.
So it's got everything you need to get started.
It does.
Whether you're a seasoned pro or you're just starting out.
Exactly.
What kind of information do those sample barter agreements include?
Everything.
Everything.
Like a description of the goods and services, estimated values,
okay,
dates and locations, delivery terms,
okay,
and even a fairness clause.
Oh, interesting.
In case there are any disputes.
Having that structure and clarity.
Yes.
Really can make all the difference.
It does.
What about those websites and organizations?
Oh, so the book recommends online platforms like Craigslist, of course.
Yeah.
BarterQuest You Exchange.
Oh, I see.
Local chambers of commerce. They often have networking events. Okay.
Where, you know, bartering relationships can form.
Cool.
And there's also local barter clubs or swap groups.
So many options.
There are.
It sounds like there's so much support out there.
There is.
For anyone who's ready to embrace the bartering lifestyle.
Absolutely. And the Bartering Bible does a great job connecting those resources with the principles that we've been discussing.
Okay.
So it really empowers the reader to barter with confidence.
These stories have been so inspiring.
I'm glad.
And I'm starting to see bartering in a whole new light.
Me too.
But our deep dive into the Bartering Bible isn't over just yet.
It isn't.
What awaits us in the final part of this series?
We're going to explore one of the most interesting sections.
Okay.
Which is all about the future of bartering.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about how technology is shaping the landscape.
Okay.
Things like wider adoption of cryptocurrency and new bartering platforms.
I can't wait.
I neither. So until next time, keep those bartering minds sharp, and we'll be back to explore the exciting possibilities that lie ahead.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into the Bartering Bible.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has. We've explored the history and the psychology.
Right.
We've heard some amazing real-world stories of
Absolutely.
how people are using bartering today.
It's so inspiring.
It is. But now it's time to look ahead
Yes.
to the future.
The future of bartering.
What does it hold? What does the Bartering Bible have to say about that?
You know what I find so fascinating about this section
Yeah.
is that Paul Aflam doesn't just offer predictions.
Huh.
He challenges us to reimagine the role of bartering
Okay.
in creating a better world.
Okay, I'm ready to have my mind blown.
Okay.
How do we even begin to envision that?
Well, technology is going to play a huge role.
Okay.
I mean, the rise of these digital platforms, mobile apps, even blockchain technology,
Okay.
it's making bartering easier, more efficient,
Yeah.
more secure than ever before.
We talked about online platforms and even cryptocurrency and how it ties into bartering.
Right.
But I'm really curious about blockchain.
Huh?
Like, how could blockchain technology really impact the future of bartering?
I think blockchain has the potential to completely revolutionize bartering
Okay.
by creating these decentralized
Yeah.
networks that operate totally independently
Yeah.
of those traditional financial institutions.
Amazing.
So imagine people exchanging goods and services directly
Yeah.
without needing banks or any middlemen.
So it's almost like bartering is coming full circle, going back to that, direct peer-to-peer system, but now it's powered by cutting-edge technology.
Exactly, like bartering 2.0.
I love it.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
blockchain enhances transparency and security and
Three.
trust within those networks.
Yeah.
It could even lead to, entirely new digital currencies specifically for bartering.
Whoa, now you're getting into like the future of money.
Right.
I like it.
It's so cool.
What other technological advancements does LaFlamme talk about?
Okay, so he predicts this rise in hyper-localized bartering.
Hyperlocalize, what does that mean?
So think about those mobile apps that connect people within specific neighborhoods
Right.
or communities.
I see.
So you're facilitating those exchanges on a much smaller scale.
So instead of going to some massive online marketplace,
Right.
you could connect with people right in your own community. Love
Exactly.
that.
Yeah, it brings back that sense of community
Yeah.
and local connection.
That we've kind of lost
Yeah, with the internet.
in the digital age.
That's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then he even talks about augmented reality.
Wow, wait, hold on. Augmented reality and bartering?
I
How does
know.
that work?
Okay, so think about browsing a virtual barter market.
Okay.
And you can use AR to preview products
Okay.
or services before you make that trade.
That's so cool. So you can really, see what you're getting
Exactly.
before you commit.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, looking at a picture online. You
Totally.
can really experience it.
Yeah, it adds this whole other dimension to
Yeah.
bartering.
Okay. So we're talking about a future where bartering isn't just, this niche thing.
Yeah.
It's a much bigger part of our lives.
Right.
But LaFlamme's vision goes beyond just technology.
It does.
He talks about how bartering can create a more sustainable world.
Yes.
Okay, so how does that work? How does bartering contribute to a more sustainable future?
Well, by encouraging the exchange and reuse of goods, we're reducing our reliance on mass production and consumption. So instead of constantly buying new things,
Right.
we're giving those existing items a second life.
I see.
So we're extending their lifespan
Yeah.
and minimizing our environmental impact.
It's like the ultimate form of recycling.
Right.
It's beautiful.
I love that.
Okay, so we're reducing waste,
Yeah.
we're conserving resources, and creating that more circular economy. I love it. But what about the social and psychological benefits of bartering?
Oh, bartering is amazing for that.
Yeah.
It creates a sense of community. It encourages collaboration.
Okay.
It strengthens those interpersonal
So
connections.
it reminds us that, we're not alone,
Right.
that we can actually rely on each other
Absolutely.
and share resources and skills.
And build a more resilient society.
So while LaFlamme is optimistic about the future of bartering,
Right.
he doesn't shy away from the challenges.
He doesn't.
So let's talk about those. What are some of the hurdles that bartering faces as it continues to evolve?
Okay, so one of the biggest challenges is overcoming this mindset of a money-based economy.
Yeah.
Like, we're so used to assigning a dollar value to everything.
We are.
It's hard to switch to that mindset where value is determined
Yeah.
through that direct negotiation.
It's like we've forgotten how to value things outside of the context of money.
It's true.
But bartering forces us to reconsider that,
It
what
does.
is truly valuable,
Yeah.
and to find those creative ways to exchange those values with each other.
And then another challenge is education.
Okay.
As bartering becomes more popular, people really need to understand the legal and financial aspects.
Right.
Especially taxes.
Like we talked about.
Right. So we need clear guidelines and support systems in place.
Okay. So how can we overcome these challenges?
LaFlamme really believes in education and advocacy and community building.
Yeah.
You know, we need to share those stories about successful bartering.
Mm-hmm.
We need to educate people about the benefits and the challenges and create those networks that make bartering more accessible.
So it's a call to action.
It is.
To become bartering ambassadors.
I love that.
I like it.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
Inspire others.
So this deep dive has been so eye-opening.
Me too.
I'm thinking about how I can barter more in my own life.
Yeah.
But let's give our listeners some practical steps they can take to get started.
Okay. So first, identify your skills and talents and resources.
Okay.
What do you have to offer?
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Right.
Gardening, cooking, crafting, home repairs.
It doesn't have to be just professional skills.
No.
Right? It can be anything.
Exactly.
It's about looking at your possessions and maybe instead of viewing them as clutter, you can view them as potential bartering assets.
I love that.
Maybe that old bike in your garage.
Right.
Could be someone else's treasure.
Totally.
And they might be willing to trade something you need in return.
It's amazing what people are looking for.
So it's about recognizing the potential for exchange.
Yes.
In everyday life.
I love that.
Another step is connecting with other people who are interested in bartering.
Yes.
Join those local swap groups.
Uh-huh. Explore online platforms.
Yeah.
Even just talk to your friends and neighbors.
Yeah.
See what they're into, what they might need.
And start small.
Yes, start small.
You don't have to jump into some big complex bartering arrangement right away.
Exactly.
You know, trade some cookies for babysitting. Uh-huh. Help a friend with their garden in exchange for dinner.
Right. And those small acts of exchange can really ripple outward.
They do.
Strengthen our connections and open up all these new possibilities.
It's beautiful.
As you get more experience, you can try those more complex bartering arrangements.
Totally.
Using all the principles and strategies we've talked about.
Absolutely.
But I think the most important thing is to approach bartering.
Yes.
With that spirit of generosity.
Uh-huh.
Creativity.
The mutual benefit.
It's not just about getting a deal.
Right.
It's about creating value.
Yes.
Building those relationships.
And contributing to a better world.
So beautifully said. As we conclude this deep dive into the bartering Bible.
Yeah.
Let's leave our listeners with this final thought.
Okay.
In a world that often feels driven by competition and scarcity.
Yeah.
Bartering reminds us that abundance can be found.
Yes.
In that simple act of sharing, exchanging.
And supporting each other.
I love.
And through that exchange, we gain so much more than just stuff.
Right.
It's a sense of community. It's a connection to those around us.
Yeah.
And it's a more fulfilling way of life.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the world of bartering.
It's been fun.
We hope you learned something new, and we hope you're feeling inspired to embrace all the possibilities of exchange. Until next time, happy bartering.